Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. Let me get this cracking. Welcome, 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 welcome back to Progressive Action TV. I am your host, Mel Thompson. And today we're changing around the format, right? You know, before I was just doing straight transit issues, but it's time for me to expand the platform. So we're going to be talking about some sports. We're going to be talking about current events. We're going to still talk about transit issues. But it's time to grow the audience, get other people involved, which means that I'm going to be doing an array of interviews from sports stars to major recording artists and still bringing forth the transit issues. I just got to broaden out the platform. I'm in a new space in life. I must broaden out the platform. I would like to tell everyone thanks for tuning in to this show right here. So, you know, the rules stay the same, though. You could donate to the platform, Progressive Action 100 via Cash App. The phone lines are open. I'm hoping that they're working. I'm hoping that they're working tonight. But they are open. Make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe to all my people on YouTube. I see y'all, man. I don't know how or why the YouTube numbers is bigger than the Facebook numbers. I don't get that. But, you know, whatever works, whatever y'all decide to tune in on, shout out to everybody that's watching on YouTube. I see y'all. Oh, what was that? Oh. Hit a sound pad. I kind of like that, though. But let's get into some breaking news, some news that happened today. It was under a rock. Federal agents search home of top fundraiser of Mayor Eric Adams. So Mayor Eric Adams today was on his way to D.C. to talk about the migrant crisis, and he's saying that the city is basically going to fall apart if the federal government does not step in and do something about that. So he was on the plane. Mayor Eric Adams was on the plane about to go advocate for our city, and the feds raided the home of his top fundraiser organizer for his mayoral run next time. I heard he got like $2.5 million in that fund already. And the person whose home was raided, her name is Brianna Suggs. And as you can see, political campaign and government professional, Kings County Democratic County Committee. You know, she's on the Eric Adams team. And it was so important. This raid was so important that Eric Adams had to turn back around and go back to New York to see what's happening. Now, as this investigation stands, we don't know what's going on yet. You know, is it possible the mayor, something could happen to the mayor? Is it possible the fundraising person, Ms. Suggs, to be arrested? I don't know. But one thing I say is very strange about this. And I spoke to Eric Adams the other day, like 2 days ago. And I'm not going to tell y'all what we spoke about, but we was having a conversation about Democrats and independents. I would just leave it as that. I think that the Democratic Party sent the feds Eric Adams. I think that they sent the feds. I think Biden was like, we got to shut this guy up. We don't want to talk about the migrant crisis. Joe Biden has no interest in closing the borders. None whatsoever. He's in compliance. And in order for him to shut Eric Adams up, people said they can't hear me. The music is still going? Oh, man, I still had the music going. That's the same on me. I apologize. I still had the music going. I can't take this phone call right now. Everything should be fixed now. Everything should be fixed now. I didn't realize I still had the music going. I apologize. I'm not going to start over the show. I apologize. You know what? Maybe I am going to start over the show. I know you can hear me now.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I had to switch it up. So let me start the show, because I started the show and messed up. So I'm going to have to redo it.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to Progressive Action TV. I am not going to play the music. I was playing the music, forgot to turn it off. Y'all couldn't hear me. I'm not going back to that. I'm going to get straight into the business. But like I told y'all guys before, I'm broadening out the show. I'm not only talking about transit issues. I'm going to talk about current events. I'm going to talk about some sports, entertainment, whatever it is. It's time for me to broaden out the platform. Got to broaden out. I got to get my subscribers up. Got to get my followers up. I have a lot to offer moving forward. And for the people out there who's watching, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the show. If you watch right now, please share out the show. I blew it. I had the music playing while I was talking. I know that was wild, annoying, but I got to get into this business. So I'm relying on you guys to share out the show. And also, if you want to support, you see the Cash App is $Progressive Action 100. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can join for 99 cents. If you are on Facebook, you could send stars. You got to support the platform. And also, if you got something to say, you could call in 563-999-3714. The phone lines will be open for 1 hour. So let's get into the first order of business. I know you guys see it, but I want to make it a little bit more clear for you guys. Federal agents search home of a top fundraiser for New York City Mayor Eric Adams. So let me give y'all, put a little bit of context to this. Today, Mayor Eric Adams was going down to Washington, D.C. with mayors all throughout the country. When Eric Adams got to D.C., the feds had raided Adams' top fundraiser's home. What does that mean? We all trying to figure it out. I do not know what that means. Will someone be arrested? Are indictments coming? Is this another way that they trying to get at Eric Adams? And I'm going to tell you guys something. I spoke with Eric Adams like 2 days ago, right? I'm not going to tell y'all what we spoke about in full, but The topic was Democrats and independents. I find it very strange that this would happen to Eric Adams. Because who's in charge of the Fed? The Democratic Party. See, if this was Trump, Eric Adams would have came out and said already, this is party war. Trump sent the feds at me. But we have Joe Biden in office, who is a Democrat. Did Joe Biden and the Democrats put this investigation, sent the feds to Eric Adams' top fundraiser home to make him back up off the immigration, the migrant situation? Because everybody know that Eric Adams is he has the loudest voice in the room, because our city is being affected the most when it comes to this migrant crisis. And I know Eric Adams was going to go down there and lay down the law and say, this is what we need to do. As soon as he stepped off the plane, when he was up in the air, the feds raided his top fundraiser home. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. What do we do there? Somebody tell me, what do we do there? What's going on? Does somebody have any insight? What's really going on over here? Anyone have any insight regarding that? Pretty strange. And this is the fundraiser, top fundraiser. Her name is Brianna Suggs, political campaign and government professional. Is really going on here? Are they trying to get Eric Adams out of here? Is Eric Adams going to get arrested? These are questions we all need answers to. We all need answers. So y'all could call in anytime during the show and give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. Let me know what's going on. Oh, did y'all see this right here? I had to throw this in there. So former NBA player Joe Smith, he finds out that his wife has an OnlyFans. Did y'all see that? Let's get into the video. I want to give y'all guys some context on this also. Now, it's quite evident, right? They've fallen on hard times, or this is a big scam for them to get their own reality TV show. But to Joe Smith, and I would like for some gentlemen to call in regarding this. Joe Smith, you knew who you married before you married her. From what I understand, she was a stripper, whatever the case is, right? She hit you with the medical freedom line, my body, my choice. All right, yeah, she's right. But who's wrong here? Did she have to tell him about her starting up an OnlyFans? Did she have to tell him that? And was she being disrespectful filming it and putting her business out there on Front Street? I want to know, how do you guys feel about that? Because if I marry a stripper, this wouldn't seem out of the ordinary, especially if money is getting low. You knew what you were marrying. Am I wrong? Y'all let me know if I'm wrong. I'm going to look into the comments. Y'all let me know if I'm wrong. I personally think they trolling. Well, I don't think they're trolling about the money part. I do believe that he probably blew some money, but I think they want their own TV show. I think that they're trolling. I think they are. I think Love and Hip Hop, one of them is going to call them and cut them a check. They need the money. They need that money. Oh, man. Should I get into this topic now? Let's get into it. So, and this was a tough one. Y'all see the picture that's on the screen. Earlier this week, a man, well, we go say neighbors, they had a disagreement, allegedly over loud noise. One neighbor went up to the floor of the other neighbor, and a dispute ensued. And ultimately, a father and a stepson was murdered. Now, this could have easily been avoided. You know, there, if you watch the video, there's many things that could have happened to avoid this situation. And none of those things took place. Not one of them. Right? And but what I want to focus on, and I'm going to play a part of the video. I'm going to play a part of the video. And I want to focus on what I felt. But there's multiple things that they could have did to avoid this whole situation. One was stay inside their house, right? But I want to point to one specific point of this video, and I'm a play it right now. So as you can see, the doors close, and the wife comes out of the apartment. He says something to the guy. Nobody knew at that point that he was armed. The second person to come out of the apartment was the son. Then you see the door open again, and you see the man in the house comes out, and he has scissors in his hand. He's putting it in the guy's face. Right? Now, this is where I feel things went wrong at. As soon as he distracted him, now I don't need to play the video any further. As soon as she distracted him, right? I want to go back to that. Let me go back to that part right there. At that point, and I could see it from both sides, but at that point, I felt that she probably should have let that man handle his business. Because look what happens. She grabs him. And what happens? Look at that. He took his attention away from the guy. He's trying to get focused. She grabs him. Now, I don't know how this little woman can grab this big guy and have him like that. Right? But look what happened. She took his attention away. The guy backs up a little bit. He backs up a little bit. Then what happened? He goes back to him. Look, this is when the guy started reaching. He's arguing with his wife. He's arguing with his wife in the middle of a dispute. And look what happens. It's over from there. It's over. She took his attention off of the danger. And I'm quite sure if they could have replayed that and they had, my first thing would have been stay in the apartment. If they could have replayed everything. But the biggest mistake was the guy taking his attention off of the other guy. Now, like I said, I'm not going to play the rest of the video. We don't need to continue those traumas and replaying these traumas. But after he did what he did, he calmly pressed for the elevator, waited for the elevator, and went about his business. I truly believe that if he would have ran into police at that minute, it would have been a shootout. It would have been a shootout, without a doubt. It would have been a shootout, right? Ultimately, the cops tracked him down, pulled over his car. He tried to rush the cops with a knife, and he killed him. But this is something that could have been avoided big time. But to the women out there, never disturb your man in the middle. Now, she probably didn't know, but we could always, you know, quarterback this a different way, right, after the fact. But that was a huge mistake in that part. And for those who don't know, he was an MTA worker. And this is him with his school car class. This is floating all over the internet. We've seen that he was an MTA worker from 2012 to 2018. Some people knew him. I can't see a clear picture of his face. He does not look familiar to me. But he was also an MTA worker. And, you know, that's a sad situation, man. It's very sad. It's unfortunate. And it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. If you have any type of input on this, you could call in live 563-999-3714. Sad, very, very, very sad situation. Very sad situation. Oh, let's touch on this. So UAW Ford signed a tentative agreement. Everybody know they was going on strike. Right, they signed a tentative agreement where this is the money aspect of it. Let's look at the money. 68% starting wage increase. 68%. Wow. 33% top wage increase, 25% wage increase, and 11% immediate increase. This is what you get when you stand on what you stand on. When you fight the fight. Now, I'm tired of our union leaders talking about the Taylor Law. The Taylor Law don't tell you that you can't strike. It says if you strike, you're going to pay the consequence. That's it. That's it. And for our union to be led by a black man, and he don't understand the history of how we became free in this country. Remember, slavery was legal at one time. People had to fight and break the law in order to free the slaves. So if we have the mentality that our union leadership has and say, hey, the Taylor Law is there, we can't break the law, we will never advance as a union. But the other aspect of that is that we don't have true union leadership. They couldn't organize a bag of chips out of a wet paper bag. That's the truth. That is the truth. They can't. They wouldn't be able to organize a bag of chips out of a wet paper bag. Let's look and see what else Ford got. They got COLA. Pre-2009 COLA restored, shorter progression, improved retirement, right to strike over plant closures. Picture that. Their fight was so powerful that in their agreement, they could strike over plant closures. That is insane. That is insane. I mean, for those who don't know, we have some very, 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 very weak union leadership. And we're seeing sanitation get raises better than us. We've seen almost every major city agency that you could compare us to get raises more than us. People love to say, oh, well, the police, they put their life on the line. Firefighters put their life on the line. What does sanitation do? How do they put their lives on the line? Why do they get more than us? Our union leadership is weak, folks. I don't know how else we can put it. Our union leadership sucks. And that's the truth. There's no way around it. You can't even believe what they say anymore. because they just make excuses for their incompetence. They make excuses for their incompetence. Now, matter of fact, what's this right here? What is this? And then, but let me play this video real quick. Let me see what's going on. Let me bring this video up, man. Let me get to it. Where's that video? Here we go. Let me open this up. Did y'all see this? The assaults is crazy. We have no protection. We forced to defend ourselves, rightfully so. Rightfully so. We forced to defend ourselves. And I want to play this video of this bus operator defending himself on the bus, just in case y'all didn't see it. Now, that video was floating all throughout the internet, and the bus operator, you see the guy try to pull open. Let me go back to the video. Let me play it again. Let me narrate it this time. I want to back it up because we got to make this clear. The guy hand is on a petition, right? A partition. Let me make the video a little bigger so y'all can see. Let me bring it back a little bit. Look at him. Let me bring it back because I'm going to walk y'all through this. He's pulling on the partition glass. You see him? He don't know whether to push it in or pull it out. He pulls it out. At that point, you see, he kicks the bus operator. Look at that. Kick. Boom. See his leg go up. He pushes him. The bus operator have no choice but to defend himself. He has no choice. No choice. And you know what the transit authority really wants? The transit authority really wants you to be a punching bag for the public. They want bus operators to sit in that seat and take whatever the customers do to them. They don't spit on them. Bus operators been stabbed in that seat, shot at, guns pulled out on them, knives pulled out on them, coffee thrown on them. The transit authority just wants you to sit there. They don't want you to do anything. They want you to take it and say that basically it's a part of your job. It's a part of your job. They don't want you to do anything. How does that work? Right? And did y'all see there was a news article that came out the other day where, and it was on CBS. Where they interviewed a bus operator, and then they asked Jan Oliva some questions. Matter of fact, let's jump into it right now. I had to stop it right there. I literally had to stop it right there. Did y'all hear what he say? Did y'all hear that? I gotta let me get back to that. Let me get back to that. Did y'all hear what he said, man? Like, that is wild, crazy. Wild, crazy. Let me just get back to that. When the guy asked him the question, I want to just get back to that. Listen to the stutter. Listen to his stutter. Hundreds of transit workers been assaulted ever since Jan Oliva been chairman. How you still stuttering when people asking you this question? I mean, listen to them, people. Listen to it. Let's finish playing the whole thing, as a matter of fact. Now, the so Let me back it up just so y'all can see his face. This is Station's Vice President, Robert Kelly, right? His narrative is all wrong. He says that these are repeat offenders, these are recidivists. How you gonna say that these are recidivists when the police is not even locking these guys up in the first place? And let's stop with the narrative that only recidivists are assault and transit workers. I've been spit at twice in my career that it didn't land on me by people in business suits. All because the train doors closed and I didn't see them after keeping them open for probably 30 seconds at a busy station. Let's not act like that this is, because when they say that these is recidivists, they really trying to say it's homeless individuals, it's people with past criminal records. That's not happening. People are upset at the service. People are upset at the conditions on these buses and these trains. People are just not happy with the transportation here. A considerable amount of people, because they're taking their frustrations out on us. So for the union to say that these are people who are recidivists, it shows that they don't know what's going on themselves. And this is why we cannot solve this problem. It's easy to solve. You have Chairman Lieber saying that, you know, we're going to ban people from the system. You cannot ban nobody from New York City Transit. And what they're going to try to usher in and try to use assaults as an excuse is that they sooner or later they're going to put facial recognition technology in the system. And it's not going to be to protect people, to protect workers from alleged recidivists, right? It's going to be some type of new world order surveillance system. I don't want to get into that too much. But you cannot ban nobody from the system. And for the union to say, well, you know, we're going to start calling out these people names. You just had a DA at the union hall, a DA who literally said, see, that this is the stuff that boggles my mind. This DA, listen to Eric Gonzalez. He literally told the union during his workplace violence synopsis symposium, we can't arrest ourselves out of this problem. So what's going to be the deterrent? The assaults. This new movement that we have in our city, they don't believe in jails. And if they saying that we can't arrest ourselves out of this problem, then what is the fix? What is the deterrent? We have the criminal justice system working against us. We have the union by not being in the know and literally catering to these district attorneys who's allowing these people who's assaulting us out. We're not doing nothing with them. And then when we do get hurt, when we do get assaulted, the TA basically denies our workers' comp. So how are we supposed to fix this issue? Let me get into this caller. Caller 2473, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, what's up? My name is Mike. I'm calling from the Bronx.
Mike from the Bronx, what's on your mind?
Yo, so I think the big issue is it comes all the way up from Albany, and they made up bail reform to make it better for black and brown people and people that weren't able to afford bail, not spend, you know, years in Rikers until, you know, they were able to get through with the court system. Understand that, but it's broken. You know, you got people out here that are committing all kinds of crimes every single day, going into Walmarts, going to Targets, and they robbing these places. They getting let out, and they're coming right back out on the street. So the same rules that were put out there to help people that were less fortunate are not helping us. You know, the people that work underground, or people that work above ground, the people that do the right thing every single day, and we have to deal with it. The MTA talking about, you know, what did that man say? That man said that the stuttering one. What did he say? The one that the video you just played. What did he say?
Jan Oliva, he was saying he's working with NYPD. We're working to ban people from the system. A whole bunch of
Okay, right. How you want to ban people from the subway when you can't stop them from jumping over the turnstile? That don't make no sense. One plus one sounds like 11 to me. That's what they're doing. What they're doing is they got these people working on the subway. They got them making these stupid announcements to have the perception that the subway is safe. The subway is not safe. The subway only appears safe. It's getting colder now. You got people sleeping on these trains, right? They don't want to get off the trains, rightfully so, because when the cops come, the cops go, come on, get off, sit on the platform and have a nice day. The people that actually pay for the subway need to understand what's happening, that Janet Lebo or Jan Olibo, whatever the name of the CEO president is, he needs to ride the subway at night. My man Adams, he needs to ride the subway at night, and he needs to leave his security detail with him. The way that stuff is happening right now, I am a proud Democrat, right? And this way that stuff is happening in the city right now, the way that stuff is happening in the state, I'm voting Republican because something needs to happen. Because these Republican people, they look, when I used to live up in the country, right? And living up in the country, you go ahead and you legally get a gun. Ain't all this slack stuff happening up there, because you never know, some old white dude is going to draw it out on you and end your life right then and there. But here in the city, everybody walking around and all these young kids walking around and acting all crazy with no repercussions. There's zero accountability for the bad behavior here in New York City, and nobody's doing anything. What's happening is that all the problems are going into a jar, and in that jar there's holes in it. And instead of trying to replace the jar, bandages over the jar, they just keep pouring more water into it, hoping that it's going to go away. It's the flavor of the week. And right now, I'm tired of tasting it, as something needs to happen. The MTA employees need to stop getting beat up. All right, the union needs to stop going on TV and saying that, oh, it's the DA's fault. It's not the DA's fault. It's the governor's fault. It's the law. The law needs to be changed. The law, they could only do so much. And what they're doing is they're allowing people to come out based on the law. We need to change the laws. You can't go to the DA and tell them to give a guy 20 years for spitting on somebody when the law says he's only supposed to get 2. Come on, man. Chamo, you're doing a good job, bro.
So let me ask you a question. So you think that the condition of our city and the way that it's spiraling out of control is because of the Democrats?
I think it's because of politics. It's because of politics. Because the reason they came up with bail reform, because, man, that was a good movie on Netflix where the young brother got accused of stealing the backpack and he was in Rikers, and then he didn't do it, and he came out messed up. Khalif Browder, and he ended up killing himself, you know, and that was part of the reason that people were like, yo, we need to have bail reform. You can't just have people sit up in Rikers, because there's good people sitting up in Rikers who don't deserve to sit in there. So I get bail reform. Bail reform is the same exact thing as quote-unquote Obamacare. It's not perfect. It's just the start of the discussion. We're just trying to work on it. We're just like, that's what it is. You know, how about we just get rid of it altogether, because there's too many bad behaviors in the street. Imagine if those people in those suits, right? Imagine if those people in those suits that were spitting on you, that be trying to spit on me, right? Imagine if they got locked up and they can go to work. They can go to work on Monday. How are they going to explain to their boss? How are they going to explain that they can't go to work because they were acting like an animal on the subway? But you know the thing, too, though? I'll be 100% honest. I'm terrified at the job. I'm terrified. And I'm not terrified of what the people will do to me. I'm terrified that I might black out and do something to them. Because what these people in the subway need to understand is that we're not from Larchmont. We're not from Amerenek, okay? We're not from Mount Kisco. We from the hood. We from Brownsville. We from Fordham. We from Harlem. We from all them ghetto behind places. And, yo, you know what? We just wear the uniform because we want a job. We don't wear the uniform because we soft like baby doo-doo, okay? Because some of us will put the hands on you, and the only reason we don't put the hands on you is because we need that money. But some of y'all going to catch the right one. Like that bus driver, how he beat that brother on the bus. He deserved it. He lucky it wasn't me. I would have beat him like he stole something.
Let me ask you this. What do you feel about the feds raiding Eric Adams' fundraiser home?
You see, okay, so I came on late, so I didn't get to see you talk about that. Honestly, look, we're all accountable for our bad behavior, okay? You know, if they're going to go ahead and raid his house, I think they should do the proper investigation just to see what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. If there's any wrongdoing done by anybody associated to that, hold them accountable. Okay, because accountability is the biggest thing that New York State lacks. If we started holding people accountable for their bad behavior, it would be no problems. Like in Florida, right? You mess around with a gun one time, two times, man, the third time, they want to throw you away in prison and forget about you. Okay? Here in New York, nah, man, you got a gun, you do your 25, you come out, you do your 15, you come out. There's no accountability for bad behavior. If there's proper accountability, maybe the whole outlet of the city would be different.
If you were in charge of the city, and when it came to assaults on transit workers, how would you handle it?
What would I recommend? The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be the most annoying person that the governor has ever met. I need to be in her ear every single day. I need to be talking to the Senate of the state every single day. I need to be talking to all the lawmakers every day saying, hey, look, it's not just the MTA workers, right? Because granted, you know, we wave the flag for the MTA because we the MTA. But what about the traffic enforcement? What about the EMS people? You know, nobody bothers the police because they got the guns, right? Okay. So, you know, what about all of them? What about the people that carry mail in the city? What about the dudes that, you know, running bodegas, right, or corner stores, the delis, that have to get robbed every day and have to deal with all this kind of mess? You know what? I'm going to be up in the air of those people that need to make the laws, and let's change the laws to better everybody, okay? Cameras are nice. Cameras are really nice. But you know what cameras do, Tramiel?
What's that?
I'll tell you what cameras do. They only confirm that the crime happened. Because if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
When they was putting, you know, they about to put all the train cars with cameras, right? And what they don't understand, I don't know what kind of world they live in, but every bank in America has a camera, and banks get robbed every day.
And they still rob banks, okay? Listen to me. People don't understand. PA is a corporation that gets paid for partially with tax money. So they're one of the only organizations, they are the only organization that can come to the government of New York and say, hey, we don't have any money, right? We're mismanaging our money, but we need more. And they give them. If anybody that's watching right now, if their kids comes to them and say, hey, I need $10, but I gave you $10 10 minutes ago, what happened to it? You're not going to give that kid $10, but the MTA, they're going to get that $10 because MTA is so vital to running the whole entire city. What people don't understand is that because the MTA collects tax money, everything they do is foilable, okay? It's foilable. So you can go ahead and request all that video. You want to see how many sleeping people's on the train? I can't wait till they put cameras on the train. Even on the 211, it's hard to sleep on the trains because of the way that they did the benches and stuff like that. They're smaller and more narrower and stuff like that. But people are going to start foiling all those cameras and start putting them on the internet. Okay, this kid's opening up back cabs of trains and doing all kinds of crazy stuff on there, right? The MTA don't care. As long as the trains move, that's all that matters, right? For the people that pay the $2.90 and for the people that pretend to pay the $2.90, as long as they can go from point A to point B, that's all that matters. They don't care about us. My man Michael Jackson said, all I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
And you know, it's so crazy. You know, Dan Oliva, he talks about banning people from the system. You can't even stop people from coming into our train cabs. So how are you going to keep people out of the system? How you going to keep people out of the system? So,
you can't stop people from walking into the tunnels from station to station. Come on, what are we doing here? It just sounds good on TV. It just sounds good. The people that don't know better get okey-doke like, yeah, he's going to ban people. Okay, let's stop and think about it for a second. How do you ban people? Oh, I know how. You're going to use the same exact cops, right, that open up the turnstiles for the people and let them walk through. Come on.
That's the part they
Come
ain't
on,
talking
what are we doing?
That's the part that people don't talk about. Well, let me ask you this. What kind of job do you think that the union is doing to address this issue?
Man, I'm a union man, and it pains me to say that I feel that more could be done by the union, but it's like, then again, they can only do so much, right? They can't strike, right? Because it's against the law, because we got okey-doked, you know, way back when, and now that we can't strike. So it's like, so what do we do? It's like we're in a boxing match, and we're told that we can't. Every now and then we can dodge something, yeah. But then, you know, we got your friend that looking like he getting ready to go to a baby shower. You know, he up there making speeches and stuff like no, come out there and hold the MTA accountable. Okay, let's stop looking at the problem of the tree at the leaves. It's not the leaves. Look at the root. The MTA could only do so much, right? Maybe something that needs to happen is that maybe they need to make it easier to become police. Okay, because in New York State, in order to become a cop, you know, you need to have 60 college credits and be 35 and be good moral character. How about they reduce that to having 35 college credits, you know, having a full-time job for X, Y, and Z time, so now more people could become cops in the city. So now you have more people to help police the city. Because honestly, you can't blame the cops. You can't even blame them, right? The reason why you can't blame the cops is because, you know what, most of them are probably overworked. Okay, you got them doing doubles and triples. Right, don't get it wrong. The money's nice, right? But they're doing doubles and triples, right? They probably, it's like, yo, if I can do 8 hours, 16 hours without having to fill out paperwork, I don't want to fill out paperwork. But then again, a cop can't do their job right because everybody want to pull out their camera, and that's fine. It's legal to record the police in the actions of their duty. So if you're going to record the police while they're in action of their duty, make sure you tell the whole story, because not everybody that gets arrested is innocent. And not everybody that gets arrested is guilty. We just got to let the court system do what it do.
Well, I want to say this to you because I spoke about this earlier in the show. Everyone knows that it's illegal to strike, right? Because
That's
of the
right.
Taylor law. But when you look at the history, let's take it back to slavery. Remember, slavery was legal at one time.
That's
and if people didn't break, if people didn't break the law and take that chance to break the law, we would still be enslaved right now, right? So,
you're right.
Yes, there's a law in place that say that we can't strike. I mean, that say that – it basically say if you strike, you're going to pay the consequence for it. I think that we've been paying the consequence on all levels as union members. They took away our COLA. We can't – our wages don't keep up with the cost of living to live in this city. We see diminishing of our health benefits. We see how they treat us when we on workers' comp. We see how they treat us when it comes to assaults. At what point is the breaking point that we say, F the Taylor law, we got to do what's best for us? When is that point? Because we've seen what happened with Denall Jenkins. He was viciously stabbed while at work. We've seen what happened with Garrett Goble. We had an actual death to the point where the MTA nor the union has implemented any type of change regarding how Garrett Goble died, which means that something that could actually happen today, that same opportunity can present itself and happen today. And the police, as far as how the police, I mean, we see it all the time. We see police officers there in our break rooms. They hiding. You know, they don't want to be involved with what's going on with this new New York City because they don't feel like that they are supported by the politician, right? So when you have this type of anarchy that's going on, the people that's at the bottom, which are us, right, the public is not stupid. They tell us all the time, I pay your salary, right? They know what they could get away with us versus everyone else. Now, police officers may have a gun. They may have batons, whatever they may have. They get assaulted too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people know that there's a consequence for assaulting a police officer. There's no
right.
consequence for assaulting a transit worker, right? They would not be put on blast. The union don't even do press conferences no more when it comes to us getting assaulted. They actually invite the DAs into our union hall. For the DAs, like Eric Gonzalez, came into the union hall the other day to say, we can't arrest ourselves out of this problem. Well, how are we going to deter these assaults? I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, in order for my parents to deter me from doing certain things, they had to take some type of action.
That's true.
Right? And this is basic human psychology. Like, if you can't arrest your way out of this problem, you're not going to be able to policy your way out of this problem either. Because some people only learn by consequence. That's just how some people are made up. And if they didn't think that way, then why do we have the death penalty? Why do we have life sentences? We shouldn't have life sentences for people who commit heinous crimes, because what's the sense? Right, according to this new ideology that they have,
when it comes to the death penalty, the death penalty is actually only in New York State. It's only available on the federal level. It's not available on the state level. When the DA is talking about we can't arrest ourselves out of the problem, it's true, because when you arrest them, they're back on the street 2 hours later doing the same exact tomfoolery that they were at. The problem starts up in Albany.
Wait, let's go back to what you. Let's go back to, I agree with that, right? But let's go back to what you said. There's not only like homeless people or people, EDPs that's assaulting us. There's people that's assaulting us that's in suits that have regular jobs just like we do.
100%.
Right?
Yep.
Now,
100%.
Now when these people get arrested, they have to answer to their employers. So, yeah, the justice system may let them go, but their employer may not, just like when we get arrested, right? Certain things that we get arrested for, like domestic violence. You get arrested for domestic violence, the TA sometimes don't even care. They can still discipline you for conduct unbecoming just because you
yep.
got arrested.
Yep.
Right? So yes, the arrest is important. And what's also as important is not letting them out and having them pay a consequence. I think that when it comes
right.
to civil service, and I don't care if you're a transit worker, you're a police officer, you're a meter maid, there should be a mandatory minimum consequence, whether it's 6 months in jail, a year in jail, whatever that number may be, there should be a mandatory minimum to deter people from assaulting us. Nothing is going to change until they create a mandatory minimum, and that's that.
True. Because if you're like you were talking about assaulting a cop, right? Yeah, there's consequences with that, but the consequences are a lot different. Look, for some strange reason, if you assault a cop, they do something, and a lot of them show up. And you know what? You might get lumped up, and you'll get arrested. You go down to the court. You know, nobody's nice to you. You're probably gone in 2 hours. For us, man, it'll pain me. Like another thing that I'm terrified of is standing in front, is having one of our coworkers get assaulted in front of me. I'm just supposed to watch that? I'm not supposed to watch you beat up my coworker? Regardless of who you are, man, I might have to yoke you up. You might have to get yoked up.
No, for sure.
Because there's no accountability. That my coworker has somebody that they got to report to when they go home. And there's no reason that they sign up to go work for the subway that they can't go home. There's unlawful behavior in the subway, above ground, below ground, between ground, every single where, and something needs to be done.
I agree, man. Thanks for calling in. I want you to call in more often, man. You got some great conversation. I appreciate it.
We've talked before. You know who I am. We've talked before. We talked in Bedford Park. That one time I was having an issue when I was new. You helped me out. You know who I am. I appreciate you, brother.
Oh,
I'm going to keep watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 for sure. Oh, my God. And you don't got a lot of time on the job.
Nah, I don't want. I don't have any time on the job. I'm still a Johnny No Timer. I just got rid of my Johnny No Timer bag.
That's good, but I'm happy that you called in and let your voice be heard. I appreciate you, man.
You're welcome, bro. Keep fighting the fight for that progressive action.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good night.
See, I like that kind of, I remember I spoke to him at Bedford Park, and he was upset. I forgot exactly what it was, but he was upset about something. And I was like, yo, bro, nah, this is how we do it here. And if you need help, I got you. You know what I'm saying? But this is what we need. We need more people speaking their mind. We too quiet. The reason why, see, there's a saying, when you choose silence, you choose the side of the oppressor. Closed mouths don't get fed. All of those things are true. All of those things are true, right? The thing is that we keep taking our beatings in silence. I mean, I don't know if you feel like you don't have an outlet to speak. I don't know if you feel like you're going to be embarrassed or you may sound dumb or there's none. This is a safe spot. This is a safe zone. What they hate, let me tell you what they hate. They hate for you guys to share out the show. They hate for you guys to call into the show. They hate for you guys to donate to the show. They hate that. They don't like that. Why? Because it defeats their narrative. It defeats their – we just had a caller call in, and he's speaking vividly on the issues. Right? They don't like that because it goes against their narrative on everything that they're lying about. And the union is culpable of that. The union is responsible for that, right? And we've seen, like, and I want to go back. I want to go back to Kelly. I want to go back to his what he had to say. Let's listen to it. I mean, that narrative is not completely true. Like they trying to make it seem like it's just one group of people. I mean, are our union leadership so far removed from their tools that they absolutely don't know what's going on? Is that what's happening? I mean, I just don't get it. And I want to say this about Kelly. I want to say this about Kelly, right? Now, this is him. And one thing, I'm going to tell you this, right? And the phone lines going to be open for a few more minutes. So if you want to call in, you see the number on the screen, 563-999-3714. I'm going to tell you what I noticed about Kelly, right? Strategically, he know how to move. I'm going to give him that. Strategically, he know how to move. And the reason I say that is because what he did from last election up until this point, he basically captured and subdued all of the station's competition. The people who ran against him last election, the majority of them, he brought them on board. He threw them a bone. He released some of them. He threw some of them, put some of them in the union hall. Because he was smart enough to know that was silent or extinguish any type of future competition running in that department. He was smart enough to do that, right? And the other departments, they just not smart. They just not smart. But Kelly, being that he wasn't staying united, well, he's staying united now, but he wasn't staying united prior to running. And once he assimilated with them, he was smart enough to say, hey, I'm going to release tier six people, and the people I'm going to start with is the people who ran against me. That was smart. That was smart. So I'm not going to say nothing bad about Kelly regarding that, but he's 100% wrong on his stance. I ain't going to say 100% wrong on his stance because some of the people who saw us are recidivists, but that's not only it. He just regurgitating the wrong talking point. he need to say what it is. Why he didn't say anything when Eric Gonzalez, because he was there. Why didn't he say anything when Eric Gonzalez said, we're not going to arrest ourselves out of this problem? Kelly should have asked him, well, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Because my members are getting their behinds kicked, and you're saying that you're not going to, we're not going to arrest ourselves out of this problem, then how are we going to do it? And nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change until we get some union leadership who's unforgiving, who's going to stand 10 toes down and put the members first. Nothing is going to change until that happens. Nothing at all is going to change. So look, check this out. If you're watching live right now, make sure to share out the show. Make sure to hit the like button. Leave a comment. We got to break this algorithm. We got to break the algorithm. Right? They got me. I think they got me kind of like banned. We got to break the algorithm. Make sure to share out these videos. You're watching on Facebook, share out the video. You're watching on YouTube, share out the video. Also, right there, hit the Cash App, $ Progressive Action 100. Let me see if anybody, let's see, no text messages. Make sure you hit the Cash App. Also, it's only 99 cents to join the channel. Oh, and before I get off, I got to say this. I got over 500 shows on YouTube. I got hundreds more on Facebook. Moving forward, I mean, the questions that you guys ask me, you could literally go through my shows and you could find the answer to the question that you're asking, right? I can't continue to do these one-on-ones. I'm doing so much. I'm just all over. I'm all over the place. I'm traveling with my new job here and there. I'm throughout the city. I'm on the phone, mainly on the phone, doing a whole bunch of stuff. I don't got the time to be powwowing with people, especially if I done shared. I done spent time researching, doing these shows and giving you the information. I cannot continue to do that. So I'm in the midst right now of setting up my consultation services regarding that. If you have a serious issue, you're going to be able to book me via Zoom. I will give you everything that you need. I will point you in the right direction. All of that good stuff. You will get my undivided attention on a Zoom. I can't continue to do the way I'm moving. The MTA is not paying me right now. I do not work for the MTA right now. Technically, I do not work for the MTA. I'm suspended without pay. It's been like that since February, and I'm doing something else. If you need help, make sure you go through my shows. Pay attention to the show. Go through my show. You will find you need comp questions. I did a specific show about that. I did a specific show with the lawyer. I do specific shows about discipline. All of that is, that's why I did these shows. If you need one-on-one help, I'm going to send you a link. Don't get offended. I'm going to send you a link to book a consultation service when I'm not busy. And if it's urgent, we'll get down to it. We'll try to make something happen. But you must get on my calendar and book a consultation. That's just how it's going to work moving forward. If you are a constant donator to the platform via Cash App, via Stars, you can send me that and say, hey, Shamel, I donate to you on the platform or whatever the case is. I would take that into consideration for these next couple of weeks. But if you need my specific help, I got to get you on my calendar. I'm just too busy doing a whole bunch of stuff. But I say that to say this. Make sure you donate to the platform, Cash App Progressive Action 100. It's 99 cents to join the channel. What else? 99 cents to join the channel. Send some stars, and we must keep this fight alive. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.